Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Woznick Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Woznick. Today we have as our guest, Kramer Soderman, who's written a book about Jesus and about basketball. He's a basketball coach. He was a college basketball player, father of three children, and living that life, that full life that Jesus has for us. We're going to talk about what basketball has to do with Jesus. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Woznick Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Woznick Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Woznick. Let's ride.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Woznick Adventure. This is Bear Woznick. I'm your adventure guide. My co-adventure guide joining us today is Kramer Soderman. He's a basketball coach, and he's written a new book, Fill Your Cup for Christ. Basketball. My son Jeremiah, who, you know, just an incredible surfer. He surf dropped in 85-foot waves. His love as a young man was basketball. Basketball is the true sport of real athletes. You know, football, you can get away with being a bit of a Neanderthal and a knuckle dragger, but basketball is true athleticism. And, you know, I went to Baylor, so I'm a big basketball fan. We have a great women's team and a great men's team. But my dad, Deacon Greg Woznick, was actually a high school basketball coach when he was young. He played college basketball. He was 6'4". His brother was 6'3". His other brother was about 6'2". One of his brothers played for back in those days, the Minneapolis Lakers. And so basketball is kind of in my family. When I was a young boy, my dad had set up a basketball inside our house, because a little basketball net, because when I was about 4 or 5 years old, I was living in North Dakota, and so not sunny California. And I had to make so many baskets before I could have dinner. I remember that. But I just remember going, the gym was only a couple blocks away, and walking over there and hearing the sound of the whistles and the gym floor, the sound of the basketball in the gym floor, and the echoing inside the gym, and the squeaking of the tennis shoes, and the sweaty locker room. And those were the guys back in the day that I think were going to go drive in their Chevy, go down by the levee, you know, it was back in the, I don't know, I was probably in the late 50s or early 60s that I was around basketball players. And my dad actually coached two state championship teams for the division that they were in North Dakota, and not one of his guys was over 6 feet tall, but they won with just hustle and technique. And so we learned a lot about, you know, what I learned a lot about by watching that, what desire can do. And I was never a good basketball player, but I was really bad but they put me in the team when they needed something bad to happen to the other team, because I would just go crazy on them in my defensive, you know, capabilities. So I'm a basketball fan, and very happy to have with us today. We have with us Kramer Soderbergh, who's bold enough to write a book, which is not the easiest thing to do, and it's called Fill Your Cup for Christ. Welcome to the show, Kramer.
Bear, thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure.
So you're not like me where I dribbled the ball. I actually did dribble the ball. I stole it, and then I dribbled it to the wrong basket and shot. And because I'm such a bad shot, I missed, right?
You must have been the enforcer, you know, the enforcer on the team who did the dirty work for everybody.
Yeah,
right?
I was kind of like, and even to this day, I use my subtlety in the same way. That's right. Subtlety is just the bullet in the china closet. You know, I'm sure you've never done anything kind of horrific on the basketball court, or what's your YouTube moment or your memory that you have? Like, I'm sure you have a million of them, but.
Yeah. I had a mean side to me, a competitive side for sure. But you know, I was the 5'10" guy who was just scrappy that way. Wasn't very athletic, but I made it up for it with my scrappiness and all that. So I have a lot of memories on the basketball court. But probably the most embarrassing memory I had was from my junior year of college, and I played my junior and senior year for my dad. He was my head coach.
And your dad is?
My dad's a longtime college basketball coach. He's currently the assistant at the University of Virginia. You know, the reigning national champ, since they didn't have a champion this year, so they
yeah, Baylor was on its way and got shot down But you guys won a national championship,
or yep, he won a national championship last time they played.
And what's
it
his
out.
Name? What's his name again?
Brad Soderbergh.
Yeah, so you got it in your blood, man. That competitive streak.
Yeah, I do. And he was a fiery guy and really competitive. So back to the story, my junior year, we had a scrimmage game against a team that we were supposed to beat. You know, it's a team that we were supposed to whoop up on. And we scrimmaged them, and they happened to beat us by a point in the first half. And instead of taking us down to the locker room, my dad lines up the whole team on the bench in front of the people that were there, you know, in front of the fans. And he pulls his chair directly in front of me. About 5 inches from my face, and he proceeds to chew me out for the next 8 minutes until halftime was over. And just, you're spoiled. You think you're better than everybody else. You can't play hard.
Yeah, because you came in as kind of like the hired gun, because you moved in from a different level. So
yeah,
when you
I was
came
a
into
Division
town,
transfer.
you were like the hired gun coming into town, right?
Right. I was a Division I transfer, so I think he was kind of making a statement to the team that, hey, just because you played Division I basketball doesn't mean that you don't have to play hard. It was a humbling experience for me, but it was a profound move by my dad, a really great coaching move, because he knew I was going to respond to it well. And I was angrier than you can imagine at my dad, but I didn't say anything. I sat there. And then when the second half started, I went out with a vengeance. I put on a full court press by myself and got 3 steals and 3 layups to start the half. And we probably won the second half by 20 or 30. But I think it was a statement for my teammates and for our team that we're all going to play hard, and our best player can take criticism, and his dad is going to be harder on him than he is on everybody else.
Well, let's talk about that right now in the situation in the world today in America. Of course, we have listeners all over the world. Same thing everywhere. There's too many lukewarm Christians out there, and that are the most gifted. And sometimes those are out on the speaking tour, and, you know, have written the latest book. In some ways, they've become slothful in their own, walk with Jesus. And I can see God the Father right now with each man listening to this broadcast, with everyone else on the bench, as a good father did with Kramer, looking him in the face and basically taking him out to the woodshed and just chewing him out. Are you really living up to the mission that God has for you? God has given you gifts and abilities and opportunities, and are you going to sit and complain about the state of the world, the fact that Christian liberties are being lost right and left, the fact that the world's moral compass has been totally broken, and that there's kind of everything goes truth, relative type truth out there? Are you gonna make a comeback? Are you gonna get determined and get fired up again and renew your faith and get deeper into the faith and get determined in your spiritual walk and get out there and steal three balls in it going right into the second half and make 3 layups? Because God you know, Jesus said, I wish that you were hot or warm, but because you're lukewarm, I will explode vomit you out of my mouth. The lukewarm Catholic out there, this isn't the time to be doing being lazy. This is your moment. God the Father sitting toe to toe with you, just like Kramer's dad did, and saying, you're better than this. It's time for you to get some fire in the belly. When you did that, Kramer, what was the response of the rest of the team when you went
on? I think it's a profound response when a leader or when one of the better players on the team doesn't respond back with attitude or anger towards the coach, but instead responds with action, and action for the betterment of the team. So I think it was before our season started. So I think it set a tone for the rest of the season, knowing that everybody was going to have to play at a certain level. And I think that helped us the rest of that year. And it was a good year for us. Great year.
Well, we need that right now, man. It's like the second half, you know, I mean, right now the churches, if you look at the state of the world today and you look at the church, it's like we're down for the count. It's like the lights are about to go out. But the fact is, we got a Father who's our coach, and you should be the one. Like Kramer really did this. That guy used to be me that would stand next to the coach and say, send me in. That used to be me. And that's what you did when you wrote this book. You're like, I got so much fire. What am I going to do with all this love and compassion I have for the world and my love for Jesus? You wrote this book, which was kind of like your manifesto, saying, I'm getting in the game. Send me in, coach, because you're out speaking now and having more opportunity to share the gospel.
Yeah, that's right. And when you talk about lukewarmness, that was me as a Christian for majority of my life, all through college, you know. And I think, like most cradle Catholics, you know, we grow up, you know, a little bit bored, uninterested, just sleepwalking through things. I went to Mass because my parents told me to, but I wasn't on fire about it. And I think, like you said, lukewarmness is the worst thing we can be. And unless we find that passion for our faith, and go out and spread it to others, we're not filling what God wants us to do. We're not taking advantage of our potential as Christians and taking advantage of the talents that He gave us to use for His sake.
And the thing about it, Kramer, it's like, that's such a great analogy, the basketball team, because we are a team. And it's not just the players that are the team, the coaches and the assistants and the equipment manager and the physical therapist. We're a team. And so if you're a man and you're like, well, I'm a good Catholic, I go to church on Sundays, or I don't really need to participate with other Christians. If you're not part of a team, you're languishing. If you're a lone wolf out there, you're already losing. You're a target and you're being picked off, and you know it, because you know there's personal sin in your life that you're ashamed of and can't overcome. So men, you need to come and be part of the team. Become part of a team. Go to your church. There's different programs like That Man Is You and other programs that you can become involved with other men. You can go to deepadventure.com and join Bear's Man Cave. We have a group of men there that challenge, equip, and mobilize each other. We have our periodic Zoom video meetups. Can we get a place, Kramer, where they can find you? What is your website?
Yeah. So my website is www.kramersoderberg.com, and there you can see a bunch of different media things I've done, but also get my book there and learn a little bit more about me. So like you mentioned, I'm trying to get more involved with speaking opportunities.
Well, you're not going to have a choice. You're not going to have a choice, because
I hope so.
The Holy Spirit's giving you that nudge, and you're going to go off like a rocket. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. You can go to deepadventure.com to find out more about us. We'll be right back with Kramer Soderberg, basketball coach. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak, or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, Here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, this is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We want to invite the women out there to go to deepadventure.com and become part of our ministry. We really received a word from the Lord the other day. I was talking with our people, Fuzati, who handle our social media, and they said, you know, you got to reach out to the mama bears out there. And I go, mama bears? And I had in my mind the mama bear in the Goldilocks story. But then my oldest son, Jeremiah, came in the next day and said, Dad, remember when we had a cabin in Montana, how fierce those mama bears were? You know, when that I came across them a couple of times. There's nothing more fierce than a mama bear. And one time my dad actually stepped into this clearing in the woods, and there was a big log on the other side of the clearing, and he realized it wasn't a log, it was a grizzly bear. And then he looked to the right and he saw two cubs. He had come between a grizzly bear, a sow, a mama bear, and her cubs. And it was like, back, get small, start backing away, don't make eye contact. So we have a place for you mama bears. We have a new page for you, and we're going to begin to arm you on how to protect your cubs and how to minister to the other men, the men in your life, so you can have an impact. We have the tools that are gritty and real enough for you to be able to use to help win your men for Christ. Remember, women are like kindling. They catch on fire fast. Men kind of take a little bit longer to burn, but when they do, they burn hot and they burn long. So go, mama bears, go to deepadventure.com and sign up with us for our newsletter, the other things that we're doing. We have Kramer Soderberg with us. He's written a book, Fill Your Cup for Christ. Hey, Kramer, what was that story you told about when you were young and your dad was coaching, I guess, a basketball camp about the three different kind of basketball players? You're going to meet three basketball players today.
That's right. And this story is the premise of the whole title of the book. This was what inspired the book, was this story. And it actually has inspired me my entire life. So when I was in sixth grade, my dad was the head coach at St. Louis University in St. Louis, Missouri. And he was putting on a kid basketball camp, you know, just with grade school kids. And he brought us all together at center court and was going to give us a little talk, you know. And I was, you know, annoyed by it because I didn't want to listen to my dad talk again. And, you know, I just wanted to play. But anyways, he told us, he said, I'm going to introduce you guys to three players. And I got kind of excited with that because I thought he was going to bring some of his college guys out and, you know, do some dunks or whatever. But instead, he had a backpack on and he pulled out three different size cups. One was a 64-ounce guzzler that you get from a gas station. One was a 12-ounce drinking glass. And one was like a Dixie cup. And he went on to, you know, tell a story and kind of give us the idea that, he said, I don't care how much potential you have, i.e. how big your cup is.
Well, tell us about the big cup. What was the big cup skills?
Yeah, so the big cup, he said, this is Big John. And he's about 6'8". He's really athletic. He can jump high. He's got all the potential in the world. And then the next cup, he said, this is Jimmy. And he's about 6'3", not as athletic as John, but he's still got long arms and he's strong. And then the little guy, he said, this is little Tony. And he's only about 5'10". He's not very fast, not very athletic, isn't very strong. And he went on to say, Big John doesn't work very hard. And then he took a pitcher of water and he poured about 2 ounces of water into that big cup. And he said, Jimmy, he works pretty hard, but he doesn't do anything extra. And he filled Jimmy's cup up about halfway. And then he said, but little Tony, he's different. He shows up early. He stays late. He works as hard as he can, whether the coach is looking or the coach isn't looking. And he proceeded to fill that little tiny Dixie cup all the way to the top, and water overflowed off the sides. And it was an image that was just ingrained in my head. And it inspired me as a sixth grade kid and drove my athletic career for the rest of the way. And actually that day on the ride home, my dad kind of poked me and said, hey, you know that story I told today? I said, oh yeah, I loved it. It was really good. He said, just so you know, you're little Tony, you're the little cup. And I think he knew that I wasn't gonna be tall. I wasn't gonna be athletic. He knew I wanted to be a Division I college basketball player and how hard that was going to be. And the only way for me to achieve that was to fill my little cup. And that's what I did. But only later on in my life did I realize how much that story relates to my whole life as a husband, as a father, and as a Catholic man. That is, in my opinion, the way to live your life, by filling your cup.
Yeah, God has a call for each of us. And we say that the most radical thing you can do in life is abandon yourself to the wild adventure of God's will. How many people have not even scratched the surface of knowing God's will? their life is just this kind of routine, and never having of asking God for a vision or a dream and never stepping out in faith. The most radical thing you can do is abandon yourself to God's will, which is also to say his love. But when you're right there in God's will, you get to watch miracles happen. You get to see stuff happen. You get to do the stuff. God's still in the miracle biz. You know, in ministry, it's so often we're like, how are we going to pay this next bill, for example? Or how are we going to get, I'd love to have Archbishop Wenske ride with us in one of our episodes. And then suddenly the door just opens, pop, 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 like that. And you know you had nothing to do with it. But Kramer, I worked hard. I prepared. And so, and I had that sense that this is the next thing God wants to do. So I did all that I could do. And then God opens up the doors. You can't force them open, but you can be right at the door knocking, and you can be ready when the Lord opens the doors. But we got to look at the potential God's given each of us. And I'm just so sick and tired of the lukewarm Catholic who just warms the bench. You know, a bench sitter, as you say in basketball, sits in the pew.
Yeah, I think if most of us are being honest, they're that big cup that has a tiny bit of water in it. And that, in my opinion, is failure. That when you look at your cup at the end of your life and you have a small amount of water in it, that's failure. But if you at the end of your life, whether you have a big cup or a small cup, it's filled to the top, that's success. Whether you fail in life, whether you're an ultra success in the world's eyes or not, whether you stumble all the time or not, if you just do your best to fill your cup, your potential to the top, that is success in my eyes, and that is success in God's eyes.
And the thing is what is success? You know, my dad was being a coach. He eventually made a living as a professional motivational speaker and then became a Catholic deacon. And the very first thing you have to choose is, you know, what goal are you pursuing? And you talked about the goal of love. And in the book, you talk about this thing with the beam. Can you talk?
Great story.
Yeah. Tell us what that, give us the lesson of the beam.
So the idea behind this is when you're chasing a goal, and for us Catholics, our goal is heaven. There's no getting around that. That's the greatest goal that we can all chase. But to chase a goal, you have to have great motivation. And if you don't have the motivation to attack your goal, you're gonna drop out. You're gonna step back. You're gonna not want to go through the difficulties. And in my opinion, and what I wrote in my book, is the only true motivation is love. There's no other motivation that is going to get you to where you want to go. You could be motivated by money, pleasure, power, whatever it may be, but at some point, something's going to stop you. So the story of the beam.
Love is
again,
the motivation that breaks all barriers.
That drives you. That's right.
The real. I mean, that if you choose to abandon yourself to that. Yep. It'll break through any barrier. Okay, so now describe this story of the beam.
Yeah. So again, another story that my dad profoundly passed on to me. He was at a Final Four convention when he was a young coach, and there was a presenter putting on a show kind of about just chasing your dreams and the worldly success and all that comes with being a high level college coach. And he called my dad up on stage and he said, imagine there's a balance beam on the stage. And there's $500 on the balance beam. Would you walk across it and get the $500? My dad said, yeah, of course. I'll go get the $500. He said, okay, good. Now there's two basketball rims 10 feet high. I'm going to put that same balance beam across those rims. There's $1,000 across there. Would you walk it to get the $1,000? He said, yeah, you know, I think I could shimmy across there without getting hurt and get the $1,000. I said, okay, good. Now, I have the two and then World Trade Center buildings. I put the beam across there and I put $1 million in the middle. Would you walk it? He said, no way. I wouldn't walk it. He said, what about 2 million, 3 million, 20 million, a billion? And he said, no, I would never walk it. He said, okay, Brad, your son, Kramer, he's out in the middle of the beam on the World Trade Centers. Would you walk and get him? My dad said, in a second. And the point of that story is, again, money isn't the motivation and nothing else is. Love is the motivation. A father loves his son and he will walk across that beam and risk his life to get his son because of love.
Not even
not
hesitate.
Because of money. Not even hesitate. And that's the idea of the motivation. That was the idea behind the story, is that if you want to chase heaven, if you want to be, you know, go after spiritual greatness, you better fall in love with Christ first. Because if you're not head over heels in love with him, then you're not going to make it. Something's going to stop you. You know, there's going to be a trial. There's going to be suffering. Going to daily mass is going to get too hard. All these things are going to stop you unless you're in love with Christ.
We're talking with Kramer Soderbergh, the author of the new book, Fill Your Cup. Fill Your Cup for Christ. And where can people find this?
Yeah, they can go to my website. It's available there, and it's also available on Amazon.com. I'm just hoping it can spread the word and help a lot of people become saints.
What's your website again?
www.kramer, K-R-A-M-E-R, and then Soderbergh, S-O-D-E-R-B-E-R-G.com.
Yeah, so get this book. Get this book, you mama bears out there. Get this book for your young men in your life. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We invite you to go to our website, deepadventure.com, and sign up for our newsletter, because you get free stuff when you do that. You get actually a free audiobook of my most recent book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. So it's pretty cool. You have access to it, and you can share it with others. But it's a great way to read a book, is to listen to books. I'm always listening to books, so we make that available to you if you go to our website, deepadventure.com, and subscribe. We got with our guest today, basketball coach, former college basketball player, Kramer Soderbergh, his book, Fill Your Cup for Christ. We're talking about love being the greatest motivator there is in life. And that it's that love for Christ that's so important. Talk to us about your own personal journey towards falling in love with Jesus.
Yeah, it was a long journey for me. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, as a cradle Catholic, I just went to mass because mom and dad told me to. You know, I wasn't on fire about it. I was just sleepwalking through things. In college, it got worse, you know, as it does for most kids. You go to college and mom and dad aren't holding your hand anymore, so you stop going to mass. You start getting involved in things that you shouldn't. And then only once I started, you know, getting closer to getting married and started having kids, did I say, okay, this might be something that I need to get focused on. And a couple good books got me really falling in love with Jesus.
What books were those?
Two books, mostly, Joshua and The Shack. And they were both just fictional books.
You know,
just fictional books that kind of focus more on Jesus the person and less on other things. And that's what I needed. I needed to fall in love with the person of Christ.
So it kind of threw all the cards up the air, because that's such unique perspective. It just kind of threw things up in the air for you, and you begin to realize it's almost like when you're raised in the church, sometimes you're just kind of hardened to it all. You can't see past it. And so then what happened?
Yeah. So it was, after I started falling in love with Christ, it was kind of that honeymoon period where, you know, I felt so good. I was on fire about my faith, ready to go. Nothing was going to stop me. And then out of nowhere, a pretty significant trial in my life came, where I was working for my dad, and he got the assistant job at the University of Virginia. And I was out of the job, you know, and that kind of went into a 5-month period of me searching for a job, couldn't find one. Sent in resumes, made calls. My dad was making calls, and we just couldn't find a job. But that trial for me united me closer to Christ than anything else could have. And that's why suffering is so good.
Well, how do you mean it united you to Christ?
You know, I think for all of us, any trial makes you realize how much control you don't have. We all think that we're in control of what's going on, and that I can handle my situation, and whatever's thrown at me, I'm going to take care of it. But for me, that time made me realize that I was insignificant and incapable of finding a job, and it forced full dependence and full surrender, like you mentioned earlier. Because I got to a point where it's like, I've done everything I can do to find a job, and it's not happening. So, Lord, I extend my hands to you. If you want to give me a job, you'll give me a job. If you don't, you won't. And that time just was so profound, because my love that started kind of immaturely was maturated in that summer, and our unity grew, my trust grew, my dependence grew. All through that trial. And although it was so difficult, that 5 months, it was so good looking back. It was the best summer of my life.
Did you continue to, what was your prayer life during that time?
it was deep. It was a deep prayer life because my wife was still working. We had just bought a house. We just had our son, and she was working, and we couldn't afford daycare. So I had to stay home with my son, who couldn't talk. So I was basically home all day by myself, and he was taking three naps a day. So it was basically all day prayer. It was all day meditation.
What do you mean by prayer? And what do you mean by prayer and meditation?
Yeah, I started to learn and started to test myself to try to be aware of Christ all the time. And it kind of goes back to the Bible verse of praying without ceasing. And that's what I wanted to try to do, was pray without ceasing. And meaning be aware of Christ every second of every day, and not lose that connection, that communion with the Lord. And I don't know if it's possible to do it every second of every day, but when you strive to do it, everything gets better. You're more thankful. You're more joyful. You're more at peace. When you are aware of Christ in your life, even if bad stuff is happening, it's smooth sailing.
Were you reading the Bible or what were you reading? Books?
Yeah. I was reading a lot, reading books, Bible. One of the books that I read that kind of started me on this awareness thing was Practicing His Presence. It was the journal entries of Frank Laubach and Brother Lawrence. Really good book.
I was wondering, because that sounded exactly like that book.
Yes. Highly suggest that to any Catholic. It's so good. It was a game changer for me. And then the Bible for sure. And I started journal entering a lot. And in my book, actually, the second quarter, I call it quarter to make it a sports theme, but the second section of my book is called The Trial. And that goes through my trial, but I have all of my journal entries from that summer kind of splattered in throughout the section to give you an inside look of my vulnerability and, you know, the depression that I went through and all that stuff. But
best thing that ever happened to you is losing that job.
Best thing that ever happened to me.
No, I know, like, I had a similar experience. I was a young man. I think I had two children and was working for a New York bank, and they decided they're going to pull the plug on their Los Angeles office, which is where I worked. And they said, you can come back to New York, or here's a little 10-week of your salary. Here's your silver streamer. There was no way I was going to be moving to Manhattan with my family. So suddenly I was like, wow, you know. And I was working in a position that was very rare, very few job openings, and what I was particularly good at. And so I remember I sent out all those resumes, and then I went, but I went down to the beach every morning with my surfboard kind of as my desk, and I read through the entire Bible, the New Testament, and then the Old Testament, and then the New Testament again. And by the time I was done, I had that a sense for what I should do, and that was to start my CPA practice. And I would have never had the boldness to do that if it hadn't been for losing my job, because I wouldn't have put my family at risk like that. And so that started my CPA practice, opened up the door to give me a lot more freedom to pursue the adventurous side of my life and to pursue ministry. So that thing that seems to be so hard right now for you, whatever it is you're facing, it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you, whether it's physical or job or whatever, if you turn and abandon yourself to God's will. Just like Job. Like, I love in one of our Long Ride Home shows, we talk about the beauty of the horses running from the book of Proverbs. And one of the things in Job, it says, did you make the horses run like this? You know, the power of that beautiful, majestic animal. God is in charge. But one of the things he does is he breaks you like someone breaks a horse. You don't crush a horse. You don't break his spirit, but there's kind of a brokenness to his will that needs to happen so that your will becomes the will of God. It's like Moses, what do you have in your hand? I have my stick. You know, I'm the shepherd. It's my shepherd's staff. It's kind of my prestige to God. It's where way I make a living. And it's been with me. It's kind of like part of me, and God's throw it down. Yep. Whatever you're clinging to, your job or your prestige or whatever, your honor, your wealth, your money, throw it down. Because what happened when Moses threw it down is it became a hissing snake, and he saw it for what it was. But then God said to him, Moses, pick it up by its tail, which is not the way you pick up a snake. And he did. And it says that that time then the rod of Aaron, the rod of Moses, became the rod of God. So if you're a man of God seeking God's will, there'll come a time in your life when there will be a death of the vision. Joseph was told he would lead the nation. He would be in charge of his family. And then next thing you know, he's down in Egypt. And worse than that, he becomes a prisoner in jail. Mm. And so there are, David was anointed king. And next thing you know, he's running from King Saul, hiding in the cave of Adullam. When God calls you and gives you a vision, there's often a time of dying to that vision. So that when you let go of it, when it's restored, it's like in its resurrection power and glory, and then it's in God's power, in the power of Jesus, that you begin to move. Jesus was, you know, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet he died. But when he resurrected, it wasn't like he had a resuscitated body like Lazarus did. He had a glorified, resurrected body. And that's what happens when God gives you a vision and a call. Everything just seemed to be working just fine, and then suddenly everything falls apart. That's that total death to self. That's that total moment in time when you say, Lord, as hard as it is to serve you, it's harder not to. I surrender everything to you, my health, my wealth, my job, my marriage, everything, Lord. Abandon yourself to God's will. And then in his timing, if that thing that you are pursuing was his will, he will resurrect it. And if it's not, leave it dead on the ground. So you die to things, a lot of them get left behind. But the thing that Jesus points to and says, pick that up. You know, I think of rock musicians that I've led to the Lord, and they there were seasons in their lives where some of them had to lay it down, never to pick it up again, but some that did pick it up again, then God used in a powerful, glorious way. So get ready to surrender all to Jesus, and then let his will be done in your life, and you'll find peace, and you'll find fulfillment, because you're fulfilling God's will. We'll be right back with Kramer Soderberg. He's a former college basketball player and a college basketball coach. You dig in on his new book, Fill Your Cup for Christ. We'll be right back with more of the deep with the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.
Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak, or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua. Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Hey, Coach, we're talking with Kramer Soderberg. So when you start a basketball game, do you just kind of say, okay, guys, go out there and play, or do you have actually a game plan?
We always have a game plan, Bear. We study it before the game, we watch film, we prepare, we write it on the whiteboard, and then we try to execute it.
Well, you mentioned in your book the game plan that God has for you, the nature, people, trials. What is God's game plan for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think God's game plan for us is what we discussed in the past segment. There is surrendering to his will, and it's so hard to do that. I think some of us need gentle nudges and others need big shoves. But I think just as God has a game plan for us, we have to have a game plan to do that. You know, we can't just say, okay, I'm going to surrender to God's will. And then not have a plan on how I'm going to do
that. How do you do that?
Yeah, I think everybody has, you know, has to set up their own specific way of doing it. But a great way that I presented in my book is, again, you know, another thing that my dad taught me. We had three rules on our college basketball team. The three rules were show up on time, and do the best you can. Those were our three rules. And I think that transcends so well to the spiritual life. First and foremost, you have to show up. You got to show up to your prayer life. You got to show up to mass. You got to show up to daily mass. You got to show up maybe with a rosary, whatever it may be. You got to show up.
Do you have a daily routine to your prayer life?
Yeah, I do. Or at least I try to. And with kids, sometimes it gets knocked sideways, but I try to get it as best I can and go into.
What is that? What is that
discipline? So on Mondays and Wednesdays, I always go to daily mass. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I go to adoration at the hospital adoration chapel. Unfortunately, with this COVID stuff, it's been closed for the last few months, so I'm going crazy that way. But whenever I open my eyes, I always try to make a daily offering to the Lord and say, you know, thank you for waking me up. I'm offering this day to you. Help me get through it. And then I always try to do a little bit of spiritual reading at some point in the day. Usually it's at night, you know, after work.
What do you mean by spiritual reading?
Whatever it may be. You know, sometimes it's a book. Sometimes it's, you know, just more of the Bible that I didn't get to read, you know, as far as the daily readings go on the mass of that day. But it's always something that is meant to draw me closer to Christ.
As a young man, how do you lead your family into the Lord? You have three young children, Andrea, your wife.
Yep. Yeah. I think, you know, for all parents out there, I can say this from my experience. A lot of what you say to your kids is going to go in one ear, out the other. And especially when they get to that age of 13 and 14, they're just going to start rebelling and ignoring you. But your example never goes unnoticed. Never goes unnoticed. And I tell my dad often that I fell away from the Catholic Church, you know, through high school and college. But when I got older, I started to think back, why did Dad go to daily mass? Why did he go to adoration? Why was he reading from his, you know, his daily devotional each day? And those questions, those examples that happened long ago came back to me, and I asked why. And then I started to pursue those questions and started to do those things. So the first thing for my kids is I just try to be an example. Dad, where are you going this morning? I'm going to daily mass today. Oh, okay. And they, no questions after that, but they hear that. And Dad, what are you reading at the kitchen table when I wake up? Oh, well, I'm reading my Bible here, you know. And
really, really, is that really true? That's so beautiful.
Yeah,
and when they wake up, they see their dad having his prayer time.
Yeah, and I want that example to be there. And of course, we say our prayers before dinner, and you know, when they ask questions, we keep going. You know, we take them to mass. All those things that we want them to do. But most especially for me, I want them to see. I want them to see me and Andrea, my wife, doing these things, so that later in their life they'll say, "Why did Mom and Dad do that?" And then they'll pursue it on their own.
Yeah, you lead by example. And you know, your wife's nickname is really cool. Her nickname is Honor, right? That scripture is honor your mother and your father. I think one of the greatest things a man can do for his children is to honor their mom.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. It's the example, whether it's a, you know, a big hug when you come home from work, or, you know, giving her a kiss on the cheek. Boys see how to love their future wives by the way their father loves their mother. Daughters learn how they should be loved when they get married or when they are going through dating or whatever it may be, by how their father loves their mother. And I think in our society, the family is falling apart. And because the family is falling apart, our society is falling apart. And the church teaches that. The Catholic Church has said that the family is the root of everything. And when the family falls apart, everything else is.
When you see these riots in the street, I got to tell you, my heart just bleeds one thing, and that is fatherless children. These people, not everyone, but so many of them, I just have a feeling they weren't really fathered. You know, they might have had a genderless sort of male in their house who didn't, who was kind of a Casper milquetoast, but so many of it just seems like, it's almost like daddy issues. It's like they're angry with daddy, so they're angry at the world. And I just think of how important a good father is. You know, Archbishop Chaput, when we were at the Napa Institute a couple of years ago, someone raised their hand. What is the key right now for evangelization? He said, get married, have lots of kids, and raise them up in the Lord. That's how you change the world, the domestic church. You're on the way to having a basketball team there, aren't you, in your family? You got three kids and...
Three kids under six, and we're...
So you need a couple more, and you got a team.
Right.
Well,
that's
you already right. do. You got the five of you.
That's right. We got five right now, but I'm old and retired, but we're not playing man-to-man anymore. We're playing zone against three, so we might as well have a couple more, you know, and make it around.
That's hysterical.
Five.
That's exactly right. When there's only one kid, it's two-on-one, and then there's two kids and one parent for each kid. But once you go to three kids,
yep.
you got to play zone defense.
Now you got to play zone, and you're in big trouble then.
That's so exactly right.
It's good though. It's being a parent is the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it is the greatest joy in the world. I really, really love it.
How do you spend time with Andrea? Do you get time with her, special time dates or anything like that? Or is that pronounced?
Yeah, we try to, as best we can, you know, each night, once the kids go to bed, we try to spend time together. Dates become harder and harder, especially we're living in Decatur where we don't have any family members. Our family all lives in Wisconsin and Missouri, so we don't get as many dates as we'd like, but we try to do little in-home dates, you know, so we'll kind of alternate weeks and take one. She'll organize the date at home and I'll organize
really?
The next week. Yep. So
see, that's,
I did a little mini golf course in our house, you know, so through the hallways and down the stairs, we played mini golf in the house. So we always try to come up with unique ideas.
You see this, man? Are you listening to what Kramer's saying? Is you make a special effort.
Yeah.
You know, like my wife, Cindy, she knows she's probably going to get a flower at least every two or three days from me, maybe more often, a wild flower brought to her. And it's the least I can do for someone who does so much for me. But it just lets her know that I cherish her, you know. By the way, did you know that golfing indoors is illegal at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel here in Hawaii?
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we used to go down and have the international indoor putting competition down the hallway of the nicest hotel in Waikiki. And there were no signs that said no golfing allowed. So we just naturally assumed.
I think it's legal. Yeah, that's legal.
Yeah, they shut us down after the third year. We had really tough. But that's just so cool. So you make an extra point to spend that kind of time, you know, with...
Yeah, we do our best to make it happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen, and Lord knows I'm not as perfect as I sound. You know, I struggle often to say thank you for making dinner and to recognize that, man, I should do the dishes tonight and all those different things. But as you get older, you learn to do more and more for your spouse.
It takes work.
It does.
To love someone.
Mm.
It does. It's like the children are misbehaving or need attention. You don't yell at them across the room. You have to physically get up and go over there. And it takes work to really love your spouse, to look past.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does. It's, and I think that's crosses over perfectly to our spiritual life too, that it takes work, you know, like everybody says, you know, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I think most just think of that as fuzzy feelings and, you know, lovey-dovey stuff, but no, real love takes work, man. And you don't just fall in love with Jesus just because you say so. You got to work at it.
Yeah, love isn't, the Bible doesn't say God so loved the world that he got all warm and gushy inside.
Yeah.
And, it says he sent his son.
Nothing. Right.
He sent his son. And so love is a verb. It's an action verb. I love the way Aquinas says love is willing the true good for the other.
That's right.
And then you marry that to John Paul II, emphasis on the gift of self, of self-donation. Love is willing the true good for the other through self-donation.
Mm.
It isn't sitting and just saying, oh, I love you so much, which is so important.
Right.
A lot of us don't feel, I'm going to give you 45 seconds to do this, don't feel loved by God the Father because they had a father that didn't love them. Can you talk to them for the next 30 seconds about that?
Yeah, man, that's really hard for me because I had a phenomenal father. But I think three simple truths can unite you to the Lord in a way that maybe you never realized is one, God is real, you know, he's alive, he's real, he's been real forever. God loves you with a love that is beyond our comprehension. And then three, God's plan for you is perfect. All that he has in store for you is beyond your wildest dreams.
I love that statement.
If you can cling to those three truths, it drives out fear. It drives out loneliness. It drives out anger. It drives out everything. Clinging to those three truths, and they are truths. God is real. God loves you, and God's plan for you is perfect.
Yeah, there's a verse that says, I know what I have in store for you, plans for peace, not destruction, yes. A future reserved for you full of hope. And then he says, if you seek me, I will let you find me. And then he says, if you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me. Because C.S. Lewis says that God hides himself just enough so the person who doesn't really want to find him will never see him. But for the person who wants to find him will see him. So seek the Lord. Seek out God. Go to Mass. Go to confession. It's a great place to start your relationship with God over again. We're talking with our good friend, become a good friend in the last hour, Kramer Soderberg, basketball coach, new author, Fill Your Cup for Christ. This is, and they can find you. What's your website again?
KramerSoderberg.com. And then you can go to Amazon, too, to find the book. Either place.
I would love for them to get it. Well, thanks for spending this time with us. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. You can go to our website, deepadventure.com. And also, don't forget, go to YouTube and subscribe to the Bear Wozniak channel, because this EWTN radio show is also coming to you on YouTube and, all the other podcast formats. But if you want to see what Kramer looks like, go to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, my ugly mug.
Until next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to BearWozniak.com to get your free audio and other exciting content. Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group, all at BearWozniak.com.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.